Welcome, and thank you everyone for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the duration of today's conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, Dan Savitt. You may begin.
Great, thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me on today's CEO conference call. As a reminder about the types of calls that I'd like to hear today or I will be responding to, I'd prefer that you direct, I prefer that you direct questions about day-to-day operations to your manager or to ask HR. On this call, I'd love to respond, though, to new ideas you are thinking about as you perform your work, about our strategy, about how we make healthcare simple to understand, easy to access, and meaningful to those that we serve. So we want to stay more at the strategy and business operations level. We'll do our best, though, to answer if you do have a question, anything that comes through the email, we certainly will respond to. I just may not read them out loud on this because many of them that come through are pretty personal in nature. So that's the direction we're headed, and I hope that you continue to find this call useful. And if you do have a question, just a reminder, though, to me or to other senior leaders that are on the call today, you can email us at ask@theAskCEOconferencecallmailbox. And that address, just so everyone's got it, is askceo@vnsny.org. Okay, I would like to start today's call with a quick COVID-19 update. New York City continues to see a steep declines in both cases and hospitalizations, which, of course, is just great news. In fact, the latest data shows that COVID cases are back to pre-Omicron levels. As those numbers keep trending downward, we can begin refocusing our efforts on the future of VNSNY, and that's I'm really excited to do that. One big part of that future, which you've heard me talk about quite a bit already, is going to involve the development of new technologies that we will continue to use to support our own operations, and that also we will be marketing to other organizations. Today, I'm going to walk you through a couple of those examples. In some cases, we're developing internal technology tools to help streamline the way we work. For example, we recently rolled out a new service locator tool that lets our CHA intake team type in a zip code and see right away if we have clinicians available to take assignments in those neighborhoods. So now if intake gets a referral request from a hospital, a doctor, or an insurance company, they can give an immediate response about availability. We're seeing very good customer satisfaction with the new service locator tool, and it's also taken a big administrative burden off the intake team and the CHAS branches. We're also in the process of designing and launching a new smartphone app for our CHA patients to help them keep informed about when to expect upcoming visits from their nurse, their rehab therapist, or social worker. This is a terrific example of using technology to enhance the consumer experience. In addition to these, I'm also excited about the technologies we're developing, not only for our own use, but that we can also sell to other healthcare organizations. David O'Malley, who joined VNSNY last May, leads our development of new products as the organization's first Senior Vice President of Product Strategy. David was just featured in a Q&A interview in Frontline where he talks about our product development plans and how we're advancing VNSNY's growth agenda through the introduction of new products that support the organization's mission. This development process includes evaluating market opportunities, determine what product areas we really want to focus on, and then exploring, designing, and delivering new products in these areas. One of these products is our HELPS tasking tool, which uses evidence-based algorithms to analyze a health plan member's clinical assessment data and determine how many hours of personal care service support would be most appropriate to meet their needs. Since the launch of this tool with Choice, hundreds of nurses have used it and provided positive feedback, and we're now getting ready to offer the tool to other MLTC plans in New York State. Beyond that, we're looking at how we can modify the tool to support health plans in other states. You can see from these examples that in addition to being a healthcare services organization, we're on the path to become a healthcare technology organization as well, What I would really say here is that if you are in the business of providing healthcare, you really have to be in the business of technology. It's really, they really go hand in hand to deliver the highest quality service that we can. And of course, this connects directly to our strategy of growth through diversification, which is one of our main strategic pillars for the future. And I would say as important, this also connects to our mission, as I firmly believe these technologies and the tools that we build raise the level of quality delivered to our patients and our members. And so I'm really excited about the direction we're headed, and I'm thankful, very thankful for everyone who's involved in getting us there. And with that comes my first shout-out. It goes to our IT team, the product strategy group, our business intelligence and analytics team, and our MSO team, and everyone else who is involved in developing these tools that will shape the future of VNS and why. I'd also like to give a shout-out to all the teams that are learning to use these new technologies and implementing them to provide better experiences for our patients, members, clients, and our team members, and our provider partners out in the community. And I really want to just emphasize that it's really critical that the operating teams, the field teams, those that are out there doing the work, using the tools, your feedback is what drives both the need and how these tools work well for you. If they don't work well for you, we shouldn't be using them. And so your feedback is absolutely critical, and we appreciate it. The next shout-out goes to Partners in Care, which just received recognition as a provider of choice from Home Care Pulse. Home Care Pulse is an organization that measures patient satisfaction with home health aid services. Partners in Care was selected from thousands of home health care providers based on responses to client satisfaction surveys conducted over a recent six-month period. I want to congratulate everyone at Partners in Care on this terrific accomplishment, including our tremendous home health aid workforce and their supervisors. And a big thank you for your commitment to providing an exceptional consumer and customer experience. My third and final shout-out for today goes to the CHA for receiving its first four-star rating ever from CMS. CMS is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Our four-star rating on a scale of 1 to 5 means that we are performing above average compared to many thousands of certified home health care agencies across the U.S. The CHA's four-star rating is especially impressive because it reflects our performance in early 2021 in the midst of the COVID pandemic and many challenges that were presented. So a huge congratulations to everyone in the CHA and support departments for this outstanding team effort. And that's it for today's shout-outs, and I'm going to use the rest of the time to answer questions that come in. And so I've received a number of questions today, which we've gone ahead and answered, that are related primarily to, as I said, more operating and things that generally we've communicated about or are more personal in nature. And so we've asked the HR team to address. And I haven't got any other yet, so I'm going to give it a minute. And we'll have a little bit of an awkward pause here as we wait a few minutes for hopefully people to send me questions. And I would love to say too, shout out to all our field teams and the folks that support them during the weather of the winter. We've had some tough weather days, the mix of rain and snow and rain and snow over and over again certainly isn't making anybody's job easier. So thank you so much for all that, just making it through. You do it day in and day out, so I appreciate it. While I'm waiting for other questions to come in, And if we don't receive any, we'll just end the call early. I'm down at a conference in Phoenix today with some of our colleagues here, and it's called the Homecare 100 Conference, which I come to every year and get to spend time with our peers across both home health and hospice, and of course all the vendors and everybody else who comes down. And I'm always encouraged when I come here and listen to the rest of the groups and to have great one-on-one discussions, because what I realize again and again is how well we're doing as an organization, and where we are in terms of being ahead in so many ways. Our focus, you all and our people, is so important, and we hear it over and over again, and we're going to continue to do that. Employee experience will continue to be a strategic pillar for us and a strategic advantage, I know. And also just where we are in terms of the types of services and the innovations we have and the technology we're using and how we continue to drive the quality of the services that we provide. And so really proud of everybody here in this organization and being here with it's called Homecare 100 because they invite the top 100 or so home health organizations across the country. And so we're meeting with those that have multi-market 10, 20, 30,000 patient census. And I feel really good about what we're doing and what we continue to drive forward on. And so I'm really proud of that in this organization. The health plan, our provider delivery, what we do on the behavioral health side, all the care management work and everything in between. And so really appreciate that. I just wanted to let you all know you should feel really proud to work for our company. And at times it's pretty difficult, and we're going to continue to work through these difficulties and focus again on helping you to do your job better each and every day. We have a couple of questions that are coming in. I'm just going to read them really quick. This is a good question. Would you review any work we have done or are doing to strengthen interoperability across health information systems within and externally? That's a great question. And this would be one that would be wonderful for our CIO, Bob Plaids, if he were on today, which he's not. He had to be off. But we have quite a bit of work and focus on connecting our data internally, of course, and that's always a challenge. So how we ensure that we bring all our data together so we can access it well. We have a number of different initiatives going on to continue to build things like our improved provider portal on the health plan side and member portal, ways that they can access their data. We have a better connectivity with the hospital system, so we know when our patients and members hit the emergency department or get admitted into the hospital. And so we've got a number of good initiatives in this area, and we will continue to drive on that. But I appreciate the question. Thank you. Let's see. There is a question on parking passes that I would like to answer if we have someone that can answer it. And I don't know, Andrea was having trouble getting on, so I don't know. Andrea, did you make it on?
Yes, Dan. Hi. So do you want to read the question, Dan?
Yep, I'll read the question, and then Andrea is going to provide an amazing answer. I know it. It says, there are many of us that don't have parking passes but need them. I know BNSNY will not be receiving more. Could we implement some type of sharing system for the parking passes that BNSNY currently has? It would promote a sense of fairness and equality.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, and that's a great question. Just a couple of things. We are trying very hard to work with the city, first of all, to make the parking path situation permanent. We understand we do not have enough parking passes to meet the demand that our staff have, and so we are looking into trying to get additional parking passes if we are successful making them permanent. As you know, they are not permanent yet, and our government affairs team is trying to do that. We can take this back, this recommendation back for consideration. I think there's some logistical problems with sharing the passes because I believe, I could be wrong, that there might be a requirement for a license number on that pass or something like that. I know the staff out there who use these passes know the answer to that question, but we can take this back for consideration with the team and see if there's any way for the ability to share them. This is probably more of a solution if we get permanent passes where we don't have enough for everybody, as opposed to these temporary passes that we have right now. So thank you for the creativity, and we'll take this back to the team for some consideration.
Thanks, Andrea. Like everything, when we deal with the city or the state, there's never an easy answer. It's the fun part of working in the state of New York and with New York City. So at this point, I don't have any additional questions. And, I'll ask before we head off, since we have folks on the other leaders on the phone, if anyone would like to provide any additional updates or additional information on some of the things that I shared.
Dan, it's Michael Bernstein. Thanks for the opportunity. So I think most of you know I'm our chief experience officer, and there was a great question about interoperability, and certainly I'm not our chief technology officer, but there are two things that I would just share with all of us that are underway in 2022. One of them is referred to as a CRM, a consumer relationship management solution powered by Salesforce, which is a platform that we already use at VNSNY. But interoperability kind of means at the highest level, one system being able to talk to another system and information being able to be shared across platforms internally and hopefully externally. And our CRM initiative is a way for us to build that kind of information sharing internally so that on one screen on a computer, you can see information pulled from HomeCare Homebase or from NetSmart if you're in the CMO using that system, or if you're in the Health Plan Services Group using TMG or Guiding Care, the platforms that are there. So that's a big step for VNSNY. There's another effort that is well underway that I think many of the people who are part of our CHA are aware of, to pull information into a command center dashboard to share visit scheduling information, and then ultimately, as Dan said in his opening remarks, be able to provide that directly to consumers so that they can have insight into when visits are going to be made. So those two things touch on interoperability. That term is also very much used in the health insurance business, of which we play a part here in New York, and there are a lot of efforts underway there to ensure that our information for the members in our health plan can be appropriately shared with providers in our provider network and from them to us as well, in accordance with the rules and regulations that CMS and the state have put forward. So that was a great question. There is quite a lot going on, and one of the areas that I get to focus on is what we publish in Frontline. So we'll take this away and come back with some more information about interoperability on Frontline as well. So thanks, Dan.
Yep, you're welcome. And for those that don't, when you hear interoperability, you're like, what the heck is that? Michael, do you have an easy way to explain what that is?
Well, my understanding of it, is the ability for systems to share information so that consumers, patients, or members have access to information about their own care, the status of their care, and what their providers do. Now, I'll just tell everybody I'm not an expert on the subject, but I'm pretty sure that that's what the government wants to happen in this country, and that's what we are striving to do as well. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. There is regulatory requirements around our ability to share information with back with not just the patient but with their providers, and so it's a big push, and it's the right thing to do as consumers, as patients, right? We all want easy access to our healthcare record, and it's and not just not that I have to log into five different systems to get my entire, you know, the entirety of my record, but I can get go to one place and see most everything that relates to me. And so good. That's right. So sorry for the funny pause there. I got a note here. Just really quick on the parking passes. We did find out from government affairs that we're actually not allowed to share parking passes, which of course is unfortunate, but that's part of the rules today. And as Andrea said, you know, we're lobbying really hard to make them permanent, and through that process we would lobby really hard to get more and to be able to do things like share them where if we don't have enough passes. So the government affairs team they know how important this is to you all, and so that makes it important to them, and they continue to advocate on behalf of our organization. And so that's it for the questions that I have. Thank you all very much, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for participating. You may now disconnect.